Hello. Guess who's back? Back again, as the lovely Eminem would say. I think I'm gonna continue with this book, which is again called Love Me, Don't Leave Me. It's a psychology book, just for anybody. I already posted part one. This is gonna be part two. And I am just very excited to continue. So let me just instantly get into it. Also, if I take some pauses sometimes, it's because I'm highlighting. So, yes. I needed to clear my throat. Also, I have some coffee, so feel free to like grab some tea or coffee or something. Water. My voice is gone. Okay, so types of people who trigger your core beliefs. There will always be situations, conversations, and people who trigger your core beliefs. Some people will trigger your core beliefs sometimes, and others will seemingly trigger them all the time. It's important to make that distinction in your relationships because it helps you separate toxic individuals who consistently trigger your core beliefs from the non-toxic individuals who do not. It's time to identify the lineup of characters who constantly bring your deeply held negative beliefs about yourself, others, and the world to the surface. I've listed a few characteristics that are common to each type, but this isn't an exclusive. Whoa, an exclusive list. Feel free to add any additional qualities, blah blah blah. So the first type is called the abandoner. Oh my god, how dramatic. This type of person will trigger your abandonment core belief. They will likely be unpredictable. They are not consistently there for you, or some days they seem really into you and other days they seem over you. Unstable. They don't have established routines or a lifestyle that makes you feel secure. They may move frequently, change jobs often, or seem to not have roots in one place. It appears as if it would be easy for them to pick up and go. That's where my trauma comes from because one of my parents did exactly that. We moved apartment houses, in which, by the way, you're supposed to feel safe and secure and protected in your house, you know. And as a child from like 1 to 12, 13, you kind of are supposed to feel that way, at least in that period of time. Sadly, a lot of the times that does not happen in a lot of families. And that's very sad. But that's what happened with me, for example. We changed and moved houses so many times during my childhood. I never really knew what a home was. I constantly moved schools. I never really had that safeness, you know, never felt that safeness and security, not only within the actual house, like the physical house, because again, we kept moving, but only because, also, sorry, also because of one of my parents who just had a very chaotic lifestyle. And years later, obviously, when I became a little bit older, I realized that this parent was clearly not prepared to have a child whatsoever. At all. At all. And yeah, this parent changed jobs often too, literally just what it says in the book. Changed partners also often, so that's nice, you know. So that's why I have the whole abandonment issue thing, and that's why a lot of the times I was, not anymore thankfully, but I was easily persuaded, I guess, seducted by partners who were exactly like this. That were all over the place, chaotic, like one day they, you know, wanted me there, the next day they didn't even wanna have nothing, you know, to do with me and all that. Then the abandoner type can be also unavailable a lot of the times. They aren't there when you need them. You have a great time together, you feel connected, and then they disappear or are too busy to see you. The next type is called the abuser. This type will trigger your mistrust and abuse core belief. They may be untrustworthy. They will lie, cheat, and manipulate people to get what they want. Unsafe. Emotionally, they will exploit your vulnerabilities. Physically, they will harm you. Sexually, they will abuse you. I got all of these. Nice. Let me know in the comments what you got. Let's share. Let's bond over trauma. Trauma bonding, let's go. The depriver. Encountering this type of person will trigger your emotional deprivation core belief. They will be detached. They will not connect with you. This will make you feel unloved, unworthy, and lonely. Yeah. Withholding, they will deny you the emotional, physical, or sexual connection that you long to have. Yeah. Then we have the devastator. Oh my god. This type of person will trigger defectiveness, your defectiveness core belief. Their qualities include being judgmental, they will find your flaws and expose them. Rejecting, they will treat you as if you aren't good enough for them. And critical, they will criticize you and disrespect you. Nice. Last but not least, we have the critic. Your failure core belief will get triggered by this type of person. They are critical, surprise. They will make you feel less than in every way. And then they are boastful and ego-driven. They will compare you to... They will compare you unfavorably to themselves and others. While all of us have probably engaged in many of the behaviors listed on occasion or in specific situations, these types of people tend to be toxic because their behaviors are standard operating procedure for them. A supportive and caring friend or loved one, or even yourself, may be going through a temporary struggle and exhibit these traits. The difference is that in healthy relationships, an individual's negative behavior is infrequent and short-lived. In relationship with toxic people, though, the triggering behavior is constant. That's the difference. Then we have behavioral triggers. Now let's look at common behaviors by others that may trigger your core beliefs. These are behaviors that most people engage in occasionally. The types of people identified in the previous section might exhibit these traits a lot of the time, but now you're going to identify behaviors of non-toxic people who are struggling to develop relationships while dealing with their own stories and their accompanying challenges. The abandonment core belief is easily triggered because it is deeply embedded in our survival instinct. Some of your behavioral triggers may include a change in someone's behavior. I'm like reading this whole time and I'm just nodding the whole time. So sad. A change in someone's behavior. Example, he usually texts you or calls you every day and then you don't hear from him for a day or two. Nice. You aren't getting the reassurance that you need. The other person has relationships that feel threatening to your relationship. Any behavior that can be interpreted... This is so funny to me because it like resonates so bad. And I'm so sad. Any behavior that can be interpreted as rejecting. Example. A shorter than normal phone call. Still, I didn't know these were actually things. Like, I'm discovering things as I go right now. A tone of voice that is flat, bored, sarcastic, or angry. I didn't know. Oh my god, this is so interesting to discover about myself. That's a loud car. I'm so sorry. The other person is distracted while you're having a conversation, canceling or rescheduling plans. Periods of separation, explained and unexplained. Then we have a change in mood, an argument, any behavior that you experience as a disconnection. Then we have triggers for mistrust and abuse core belief, and that includes the other person exhibiting any negative emotion, particularly anger, criticism, even when it is meant to be constructive, unexplained or explained time apart, the other person's desire to know more about you to get closer, the other person's desire for intimacy or attempts at intimacy. Next, we have the emotional deprivation core belief can be triggered when the other person... Okay, so let me just tell you. I mainly have the abandonment core belief, the mistrust and abuse core belief, and the emotional deprivation core belief is what I have the highest because I took a test. The book lets you take some tests. And I have that one the highest, which is very sad. I really do suggest all of you to get this book. It's super informative. It's not really, if all of you don't like to read, Or you know, you don't have the time or something, I guess, to like read a long, chunky book. This is only like 150 pages. You can get through it in a day, in like an hour, to be honest, or less. You can take good notes from it. I feel like, you know, you can learn new things. It's very straight to the point, easily understandable. You don't have to have a big brain to do that, even though obviously I have a big brain. Not trying to say that I don't. It's pretty clear that I do. And but yeah, anyway. And you should like, it's good to know things about yourself, you know, or like have some clarity about what you should try to quote unquote fix or get better at, if that makes any sense, you know. So the emotional deprivation core belief can be triggered when the other person lacks an understanding of you or lacks an interest in understanding you, does not express his or her emotions or can handle your expression of emotions, does not ask you what you need, doesn't seem interested in getting to know you on a deeper level or to make a deeper connection. Yes. All triggers for me personally. Again, feel free to please let me know about your trauma. Let's go. Next, we have behaviors that trigger the defectiveness core belief are any perceived or stated disappointment in you, any criticism, constructive or otherwise, disapproval, feeling like the other person has seen the real, flawed you, others' desire to get to know you, absent or inconsistent reassurance. Last but not least, we have the failure core belief. Triggering behaviors include being compared to others, being with someone who you feel is better than you, for example, more successful, more attractive, a situation that makes you feel less than, any criticism, constructive or otherwise, others' desire to know you. Isn't that super interesting? I just love this stuff, dude. Let me take a sip of coffee because my throat is dying. I'm not sure if coffee will help. Probably not. That's my loud chair. You're welcome. Next, we have behavioral reactions to core belief triggering situations. So far, we've identified five types of toxic people who regularly trigger our core beliefs, as well as triggering situations or interactions that correspond to each core belief. Now, let's look at some of your possible behavioral reactions to a core belief triggering event. This list of behavioral reactions for each core belief triggering situation or interaction is not comprehensive. It is a partial list of some common reactions to each of the core beliefs. Again, these reactions are automatic, protective in nature, and understandable given the deeply held beliefs about yourself, others, and your environment. What? What did I just do? Environment that were formed by your childhood and adolescent experiences. Part of this journey is accepting and understanding everything that is contributing to and getting in the way of your relationships. No judgment. So first we have abandonment. Of course. Abandonment behavioral reactions. You may become clingy. You may start arguments consciously or unconsciously to test the relationship. In bracket. This can turn into a self-fulfilling prophecy. You push others away so often that they do end up leaving you. You get involved with people who are unavailable. Did I just say unavailable? Unavailable. Example, they live in a different location. They're in a Wait. This is so funny. I didn't even know about this. They're in another relationship. You're incompatible. You have incompatible schedules, etc. I didn't know that. Like, oh, that's interesting to know that. A lot of the times I pick people who like live so far away, especially for like friendships and partners. I tend to like go for people who live literally 50 billion miles away from me, which I guess in a way that means that they're not really available. I mean, they are, but because like long distance relationships and stuff exist and friendships exist, but that's interesting. You avoid relationships so you can't be abandoned. Next, we have mistrust and abuse behavioral reactions. You're hyper vigilant, constantly on guard for any sign of betrayal or abuse. Nice. Relatable. Hashtag. Sorry. When things are going well or you are on the receiving end of a kind gesture, you suspect an ulterior motive. Who doesn't, though? That's the thing. I never know if it's like my trauma talking for me and doing the thinking for me, or if it's everybody who feels this way all the time. Because I feel like this all the time. When I meet somebody new, I instantly go like, there's like this huge, it's not even a wall. Because like I share a lot. I overshare sometimes. Like I share a lot. I don't have a problem with that. But I instantly, there's something that there's like a trigger in me that turns on, like a switch that turns on as soon as I meet new people. Because I'm just like, no, I don't care. I don't care that other people are telling me that this is a good person, or I don't care that this person may seem sweet and nice right now in this specific moment or in the specific situation. No. Like, I'm sure of the fact that this person has some sort of ulterior motive, or that they want something on that day, like, are gonna, whatever, you know what I mean. I do not know if that's normal, though. You find it difficult, if not impossible, to be vulnerable. You're guarded. You're accommodating and compliant as a way to prevent the other person from getting angry. Who doesn't? Not always, but most of the times. You may lash out at others as a way to protect yourself from the abuse you have to come to expect. You may avoid getting close to others because you fear they will hurt you. Who doesn't? What? I feel like everybody does this, though. You don't share your vulnerabilities with others because you fear they will use it against you. Yes, this is something that I have noticed lately, like in the past year or two, I have been doing this, where I just don't, like, I share a lot, like, really small details about me and stuff, but, like, not those, I don't share my vulnerabilities or my trauma or anything like that with anybody, unless, like, we're extremely close, and we've built, like, this immense trust, you know? But before I shared anything, even my vulnerabilities and stuff, but, yeah, people do use it against you, so. You allow others to mistreat you because you feel like you deserve it. You avoid relationships because you can't trust anyone. The next we have emotional deprivation, behavioral reactions. You become angry and demanding when you don't get what you need. You avoid relationships because you feel like you will never get what you need. That's true, I have to say. You're drawn to people who don't express their emotions. Sad. You don't share your vulnerabilities with others, anticipating that you will be disappointed by the response. Lack of validation or interest. You withdraw because you aren't getting what you need. You resent others because you aren't getting love and understanding that you need. This is so sad. Next, we have defectiveness behavioral reactions. You're drawn to people who are critical of you. You criticize others. You hide your true self. You demand reassurance. You have difficulty hearing criticism. You criticize yourself in front of others. You compare yourself unfavorably to others. Last but not least, we have failure behavioral reactions. You avoid discussions or situations where comparisons to others would be made. Oh, I do that all the time. You allow yourself to criticize you or minimize your accomplishments. You minimize your talents or potential. You hide your true self for fear of being found a failure. You avoid relationships. You judge and criticize others. You overachieve to avoid criticism of others. Okay. Now we have, let me highlight a few things and take a sip of coffee. Actually, I may end it here. Actually, no, I'm gonna finish reading it. Because it's the ending of the chapter, so might as well. When your core beliefs get triggered by a person's situation or an event, your story comes alive just like the scene in the snow globe comes to life when you shake it. You experience a very intense, intolerable, negative emotional reaction. It's an emotional shortcut to the source of your core beliefs, and you will engage in a behavioral reaction to protect yourself. In the next chapter, I'm going to explain how mindfulness, staying present in the moment, can help you with your negative thoughts, painful emotions, and behavioral action urges. That's it for chapter 3. Next, we have chapter 4. Duh. But yeah, I hope you enjoyed this one. Very interesting. I like this book a lot so far. Again, very informative, easy to understand. A lot of cool psychology stuff about the brain. Very cool, very nice. Again, feel free to share anything in the comments. It means a lot to me, and I love reading like everybody's comments and stuff. But yeah, take care of yourselves. Stay safe out there. Have a lovely day, and I'll talk to you guys soon. Bye bye.